The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son so that your Son may glorify you. Just as you gave him authority over all people, so that your Son may give eternal life to all you gave him. Now this is eternal life, that they should know you, the only true God, and the one whom you sent, Jesus Christ. I glorified you on earth by accomplishing the work that you gave me to do. Now glorify me, Father, with you, with the glory that I had with you before the world began. I revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. They belong to you, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you gave me is from you, because the words you gave me I have given to them, and they accepted them and truly understood that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for the ones you have given me, because they are yours, and everything of mine is yours, and everything of yours is mine. And I have been glorified in them. And now I will no longer be in the world, but they are in the world, while I am coming to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Go ahead, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. So we're getting toward close to the end of the Easter season now. And what we're going to hear for the next few days is the very last prayer Jesus says at the Last Supper on Holy Thursday. And the very next thing he does after he finishes his prayer is that he goes out to the Garden of Gethsemane and he begins his passion and his death. Now, there's more in here than I can possibly go over. Maybe one of these days I'll break it down, but I have to do that little tiny bit every year, and I want to kind of tell you an overview, at least, of what you just heard. So let's try to take an overview of this. Okay, to understand what you just heard, we have to go back to the wedding feast of Cana. You remember the wedding feast of Cana? In the wedding feast of Cana, Mary turns to Jesus, and she says, "They have no more wine." And she asks him to make some wine for the wedding feast. And Jesus replies, "My hour has not yet come." It's not yet time for him to reveal who he truly is. However, at a special request of Mary, he turns water into the finest wine at a wedding feast. Now it's the Last Supper. And now Jesus says, "My hour has come." Now he's going to truly reveal who he is. And once again, he's going to make wine present. The finest wine there ever could possibly be. His own blood poured out for the remission of sins on the cross. Okay. Now at a wedding, what happens? A bride and a groom become one. In a covenant. Well, now Jesus is the groom and the church is the bride. And the oneness that they're going to establish is the new covenant in his own blood. The crucifixion is the wedding feast of the Lamb. That's why Jesus says that eternal life is that they'll know who you are, Father, that they'll know who you are. And when he says no, he actually means it in the biblical sense. Not just an academic knowledge or a cognition, but a oneness. And this oneness that the people of God are going to have with God is way deeper than any wedding ever could possibly be. A oneness like the oneness of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's why he says, "Now give glory to your Son." You remember what I said a few weeks ago about the word glory when it shows up in the Gospel of John? Glory doesn't mean, you know, like your name in lights and renown and fame. Glory means to make known. So does God answer Jesus' prayer for glory? Give glory to your Son? Very next thing is that he goes to the cross. Is that the answer to his prayer? It sure is, because that crucifixion is where you see who God really is. It's why Jesus says, "Now, Father, let me make your name known." Remember what God's name is? Who's the one who asked what God's name was? It was Moses. Remember that? In the burning bush. And Moses says, "What's your name?" And God told Moses his name. He said, "Yahweh," or he said, "I am the one who is." Did you know that in the Jewish faith, even to this day, that name is so sacred that they won't even say it out loud? There's only one time they would ever say the name of God out loud. Only once. It was once a year. The high priest in the temple on Yom Kippur, which was the day of forgiveness, would pronounce the name of the Lord. Now Jesus says, "I'm going to make your name known." He's going to pronounce it. Why? Because he is the temple, isn't he? And he is the high priest. And the cross is the place of forgiveness. That's where he's going to make God's name known, because in Hebrew, a name was your identity. When you name a child now, what do? Maybe you pick a relative's name. Maybe you just pick a name that you like. You see, in the Hebrew religion, your name was your very identity. So when Jesus says, "I'm going to make your name known," he says, "I'm going to let everybody know who you really are," proclaiming the sacred name of God. Who's God really? Take a good look at that cross, and you'll see the full proclamation of who God is. So this is Jesus' last prayer now, and it's an expression of his deepest identity. And you know what that means? That means it's your deepest identity too, because you were made in God's image. You ever want to know who you really are? You'll discover more and more who you really are every time you act the way Jesus would act, in an act of self-forgetfulness, sacrificial love. His identity and our deepest identity. It's why Jesus prayed, "Now this is eternal life, that they should know you, the only true God, and the one whom you sent, Jesus Christ." His identity right there becomes our strength right here, so that we can go out those doors and let everybody know who God really is. And there's no better place to do that than right here. Amen.